Hi, my name is Carl Azus. It's great to see you this Thursday as we get started on a new show. Here's a sense of what some communities are dealing with in the aftermath of Hurricane Ida. One, rescues continue several days after the storm hit. In southern Louisiana, where Hurricane Ida made landfall on Sunday, a lot of people have been trapped by flooding or wreckage from the storm, and rescue crews haven't been able to get to some of the hardest hit areas yet. At least five deaths have been blamed on Hurricane Ida. Two, supplies are dwindling. Officials in a parish southeast of New Orleans say water, groceries, and medical supplies have been depleted and that they won't be readily available. But some who have them, as you see here, are sharing with neighbors. Three, the weather's still a problem. It's hot. Highs could hit 90 degrees Fahrenheit in some parts of the region, but the National Weather Service says it'll feel like more than 100 once you factor in the humidity, and many don't have air conditioning. On Wednesday morning, the power was still out for almost a million homes and businesses in Louisiana and more than 36,000 in neighboring Mississippi. Officials say some power outages could last more than a month. To keep the lights and fans on, many people are relying on generators, but those are powered by gasoline, and that's another challenge. Almost 13% of stations in Louisiana are reportedly out of gas. That includes more than half the stations in cities like New Orleans and Baton Rouge. And according to the website GasBuddy, the number of actual outages may be higher than that because these figures don't include the stations that don't have power and can't serve customers. Gas supply problems in this region could contribute to higher prices across the U.S. But the first thing on the minds of those returning home in southern Louisiana is how bad is the damage?
When you get your first look at the town of Grand Isle, which sits on a barrier island on the southern tip of Louisiana, you gasp. Utter devastation. Colorful gulfside homes destroyed. Vehicles still under floodwaters. Most importantly, though, there are no known deaths or injuries here, which is clear evidence how seriously evacuation orders were taken. Grand Isle is a peaceful, beautiful place, and that's why it's so emotionally wrenching right now to see it decimated like this. It's small. Between 700 and 800 people live here year-round. Most of the residents here are in the fishing industry or the oil industry. Yes, there was lots of damage during Katrina 16 years ago, but remember, the eye of Katrina passed over Mississippi. This eye passed over Louisiana. Only a few miles to the west of this very town. Ricky Pokey built this home with his family when he was 19 years old. He is now 58. He and his family evacuated, and he feared what he would find when he came back. His worst fears now realized.
Well, Katrina, we had lost our front porches and the steps, but the house was intact. Roof was intact. Everything was intact.
His house, now like so many other homes, unlivable.
I tried to get a few things. My wife has wanted me to get some wedding video and stuff from our wedding, and I'm trying to find that right now.
I'm so sorry for you guys.
Thank you.
How are you coping with it right now? Is it disbelief?
You know, we trust the Lord, and as you know, as He gives and He takes away, so.
Ricky says he doesn't plan to rebuild. After almost four decades living here, he says he and his wife will move to Kentucky, where they have family. Most residents have not yet been back here. They will face similar decisions, to rebuild or not to rebuild, on this wonderful but very vulnerable barrier island.
10-second trivia. Basaltic, andesitic, and rhyolitic all refer to what? Oceanic zones, magma types, prehistoric eras, or metal bands? These are all types of magma, which become lava when they reach the Earth's surface. For decades, if camera operators wanted to get a shot from the air, they needed to bring their equipment on a plane, a helicopter, or a balloon. More recently, drones have had a tremendous impact on how the media can record video and how they can get it without risking anything but the equipment itself. Close-ups of lava are just the tip of the iceberg.
This is the fury of nature, captured by drone photography.
I hope I don't lose this drone because the footage is insane.
You have a lot of adrenaline. It's like a bird and you can just fly it wherever you want.
It's not just any drone. This is the cinematic world of first-person view, FPV. As far as drone shots go, you're probably familiar with these, where drones are piloted from the ground. With FPV, pilots fly from the drone's point of view, watching live transmission from a pair of goggles, allowing shots to be more dynamic and fast-paced.
You have more access. You're actually floating. When you fly FPV, you observe, you explore nature from a perspective which you cannot, not even with the helicopter.
Meet Alice from Switzerland.
So, I mean, I just love it.
And Julio from Costa Rica. From different sides of the world, they both share a passion for capturing cinematic FPV videos.
I would say the FPV actually allows you to keep that story flowing. They keep things spicy.
In 2021, Julio filmed the erupting Pacaya volcano in Guatemala, following the rivers of flowing lava with his drone. In order to capture these shots, he hiked up the mountain in the middle of the night and waited for first light at 5 a.m.
I stood right next to the flow of lava, like 50 meters away. I was flying full speed with this drone in order to make sure that it wasn't gonna melt.
For Ellis, it took years to make it to the Angel Falls of Venezuela, the world's tallest waterfall.
Since FPV came out, I told myself I have to go there.
To film these sequences, Ellis stood on a boat with a direct line of sight to his flight path.
They had to keep the boat exactly in the middle of the river. If they go too much to the left, have branches of trees blocking my signal, makes it really hard if you go out 3-4 kilometers. So they had to exactly stay in the same.
While it may be easy to get lost in the mesmerizing footage, behind the scenes, filming FPV is harder than it looks. A lot goes into planning the journey. Ellis, for example, has quite a bit of gear.
6 drones? Okay, at least 5.
The actual flight takes patience and nerves. It's where all pilots must face their biggest fear.
I would say like fear, it's like adrenaline.
Yes, losing their drones.
You were too cocky, you went for the ultimate dive, you just lost your drone, and of course you lost the footage as well, and you lost $1,000.
All I was thinking was, oh please come back home, and every single time it did, so I was super happy.
Yeah, every flight is a celebration.
For both Julio and Ellis, their FPV work provides opportunities to be creative and flex their technical skills.
I spent probably 1,400 hours on just the technicality of FPV drones. You understand the technical components and you understand the limitation. You know how far you can go.
Your creativity is your limitation. Like that's it.
From the tops of the Dolomite Mountains, the volcanoes of Costa Rica, the coastlines of the Faroe Islands, to the ancient Mayan ruins of Guatemala, creativity, technical know-how, and adrenaline come together to create the ultimate visual experience.
Meteorologist Anthony Farnell at Global News Toronto knows how to stay focused. He was on air live recently when, what's up, dog? His pet, whose name is Storm, just wandered onto the set, and Farnell barely missed a beat.
Yes, Storm is in the building, getting some treats, walking on thin air.
Farnell and Storm just kept on doing what they were doing as if this happens every day. What a way to weather the high pressure, or at least put up a front, when the unexpected precipitates, when it's raining cats and dogs, or at least dogs, in the studio. Farnell didn't need to pant to keep his cool. He just stayed doggedly determined to get bark to the forecast. I'm Coral Azuz. We're giving a shout out today to Duchesne High School. It is located in Duchesne, Utah. They did the one thing you can do to get a shout out. They subscribed and left a comment at youtube.com/CNN10. We'll be right back.